I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Uh-oh!
Hey!
It's your favorite part of Wednesday night! Woo! Because you made it through 2 hours of Married at First Sight.
Woo-hoo! Yes!
And we're here to set things right.
Oh my! Like that!
With the after show here on AfterBuzz TV, what is up, everybody? Oh my gosh! Thank you so much for joining us yet again. My name is Mike Feeling. I am here to help you down this road of this show because you know it gets crazy on Married at First Sight, and we get crazy here in the studio. Of course, I'm not here all by myself. I am one half of Team Happily Married. To my left, the other half, Takiya!
Hello, all my married people. Hey, y'all want to be married people.
And of course, on the other side of the desk, Team No Strings Attached, Team,
yo, team
no strings attached,
Team
and,
Twinkie,
and Team Twinning,
okay,
with their matching jackets, not on purpose, of course. First is Kenneth.
Yes, Team Single. What's up to all my single folks? What up?
And further down, you know it's Lanisha.
Hey, all my single ladies, Valentine's Day is going to be popping.
Valentine's Day for you guys. This is a very special week since it's Valentine's Day this Friday. And, of course, we have an amazing after show for you guys here. Of course, we're going to talk about all these silly couples and what's gone on with this episode. We got some really, really spicy news. I don't know if you guys have been keeping track of the news on MAFS outside of our little show here, but with some crazy stuff going on. Of course, we're going to rate our couples. We'll give some predictions. But first, let's start at the other end of the table. Anisha, what is the overall thoughts of this episode tonight?
I'm just surprised that these ladies have not left. They're very strong-willed. And
all of them?
The patience is... Not all of them. I'm talking about, of course, the obvious ones. Zach and Brandon.
Yeah.
I'm ready for these late girls to just get another man and Married at First Sight. Bring some of these folks from the other seasons and get them together.
That'd be good, like an All-Stars.
Yeah.
Tonight, of course, Survivor 40 premieres tonight. That is my favorite show. I love Married at First Sight. Survivor 40 is all winners this season. So we should do a Married at First Sight all losers.
We should.
Yeah, all losers. Ken?
The couples left paradise, made their way back to the nation's capital.
Whoops.
And it's a lot of things to talk about, more than President Trump. You know, so.
Oh, yeah, he should go. We don't need to talk about him at all. No.
Oh, me. It set in that little signs of trouble amongst everybody, like Katie and Derek, even before the end of the episode, kind of picked up on it. Passion's kind of drifting.
Uh-oh.
And it's only been 10, they've only been married 10 days.
Yeah.
10 days
still blows
of wedded
my mind,
bliss.
But we got a lot to talk about.
It's a lot. For me, this episode was kind of a lot more of the same. I think, like we said in our quick 60-second review, I thought the people we like, we still like. The people we don't like, we still kind of don't like. Before we get into it, let's say what up to producer Jonathan!
What up? Hey. Hang on. Wait.
Oh,
wait,
Jonathan,
wait.
The fans love you.
Yeah, they friggin' love me. They're going
the fans
insane.
Love you. There they are. All the fans in the studio today. Guys, let's start, as we always do, with the least controversial, Jessica and Austin.
Woo! That's my couple.
Jessica and Austin went from the most awkward family photos at the wedding to maintain their awkwardness together and just have grown to be awkward as one, as a couple in awkwardness. Just like Ken said, you know, everybody came back from the honeymoon this week. They go back to D.C. and they get their little apartment together. This is all the couples. And then, of course, depending on if you were one of the couples where your mate actually came home with you or not, they go to their respective houses and they pack stuff up. So, I don't know. They had a cute little tussle over the closets. He has a few things. She wants to bring a ton of stuff from her apartment. I don't know. Ken, is there anything really to say about these guys? They're cute.
I mean, yeah, they're cute. She wanted to bring a watermelon.
I don't know. So that's like the only reasonable thing. If you don't bring that.
I was about to say, there are no snacks. There's no food in the apartment. So, yeah.
Like, that's the only
She's being not reasonable.
But the watermelon's going to rot if you leave it in her old place.
Touché. I think it was just a power of, I mean, she won. But I'm just, you know, she won the battle.
I think the only issue, which I don't think is an issue, but I want to know if you guys think it's an issue, was with Pastor Cal asking them, is the financial problem a problem with her making more money than him? Would that be a problem for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about that. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Put it up.
I think
that's the only problem they have.
Obviously, there were two couples that they talked heavily a little bit more about finances than
right.
the others. Mm-hmm. But I think what's so interesting, and I know we'll get to the other couple, what's so interesting about this one, Jessica and Austin, is the fact that they acknowledged it.
Yep.
And then yeah. they were like, but it doesn't, like, it matters, but it doesn't matter. Like, we talked about it because it's important, because finances is one of the reasons why people get divorced. It's one of the leading reasons. Mm. And she was like, you know what? He doesn't make a lot, but he's striving, and he has passion, and he has ambition. So,
yeah,
thumbs up. And I thought that was great.
Sure.
I mean,
right.
Yeah, it's important.
He's definitely not a bum. I mean,
right.
yeah. he's an engineer. Yeah. He's right. in a solid career field. So he's going to elevate.
Yeah. It sounds like yeah. it's a new career field for him, too. So maybe right. he was working in something else, and you decided mm-hmm. to switch paths.
Switch
and, of course,
up.
You're going to start kind of at the bottom of the ladder again.
Right. Yeah.
But if that's something you're passionate about, you know, I think I'm a big Gary Vee fan. I don't know if our fans watching here listen to him. I'm a big Gary Vee fan. He talks.
Oh, yeah. Entrepreneur?
Yeah. Yeah. He talks a lot about following your passion rather yeah. than following the dollars. So I think as long as it's something you're passionate about, and you're right, it's not something just passive, and you know, the income yeah. will come
yeah.
following your passion for it.
Yeah. That's what I liked about her, how motivating she was, and she wasn't yeah. tearing him down about it. She was just like, the thrive is there. Like, he wants to go up.
Right.
Yeah. He doesn't want to stay down. He wants to move up in his field. And it's not like he's not making any money. He's making money
right.
enough
right.
for us to eat and stuff. So
that's part of it. That's part perfect, of the supportive yeah. thing. We don't have to fall into these traditional gender roles, right, of the man's
yeah.
got to make more money than the woman. Like, it's oh. a partnership
yeah.
because you can each bring different non-tangible things.
Exactly.
Untangible, whatever it is. things
tangible.
To the relationship.
Intangible.
Right.
Another thing that I absolutely loved about this couple, because, I mean, we didn't have a whole lot of bad things to say.
Yeah.
One of the,
sure.
the other things that I absolutely loved was that they acknowledge that they're having sex, but that they keep it private.
Yeah.
Yes.
And yeah.
we don't need to go into details.
As thirsty as Pastor Cal is to get some details.
He
needed
it.
Not giving it up.
He needed it. Pastor Cal was like, Lord, please get
okay.
me.
Tell compared
me.
To all
tell
these other
more.
Couples,
tell
I need
me.
Something good.
I get no action in the other four bedrooms. So I need this.
It's all right, Cal.
I did yes. love that. And so it's almost like they're checking the boxes out of the Cal was like, okay, finance, sex, children, boom, boom, boom. They agreed on all. And
yeah.
I think that that's just... it's just epitome of this awkwardly love. It's just so pretty.
They're lined up.
Okay.
They're just lined up.
Now they're yeah. cute awkward. Like,
now they're cute awkward.
They are
awkward.
Like the picture perfect awkward.
Even yeah. their little arguments or little. Their little like tit for tat kind of.
And I'm going to point out the kiss on the forehead.
Yeah, the little forehead
I love that forehead kiss. Like,
oh, Lord.
That's a big, like, guys.
And
if
it
you're
was
not
like,
doing the forehead kiss,
it was technically
it
like
is...
on the eye, which is even sweeter. If nobody's like kissed
it's
you on the eye,
it's a good move.
Just grab a friend or something. Like, yo, just bear with me. Just right here. Just
watch what friend you do it to, though, because it could become
and
a fiance.
Watch how you do it. Watch them do it all fierce. Poke me in the eye.
Knock my contact out.
Right.
Let's move on. They're amazing. Let's move on. We're really going in descending order here today. I think we've got a pretty
nice.
Solid descending order. It's Katie and Derek are going to be the next one as we go down the rung of ladder of romance.
Okay.
Seemed pretty good, right? Everything seemed pretty good on the hunt. Oh, she already. TK's got this energy about
Ooh.
Her with this couple tonight.
I'm going to let you finish.
Thank you.
I'm no Kanye West.
oh, wow.
Still nice. The mic?
I'm definitely not a Taylor Swift either. Okay, they seem pretty good on the honeymoon, right? They've seemed, you know, the whole time. Jonathan's got our map. At some point, we're going to look at it. We've rated them pretty high the whole time.
Yeah.
However, they move into the new house. It doesn't seem like a lot of conversation is going on. And
mm-hmm.
then, once they finally talk to Pastor Cal, he admits that he feels like the relationship is kind of stagnant, right?
Yeah.
And then she drops the bombshell of the stuff that we've kind of been
Ooh.
Knowing already about this ex that all of a sudden came, you know, popped back up before she went on the show saying he loves her, and that caused her emotional turmoil going on to the show. Lanisha, was she saying this in retaliation for what he said? Is this, like, trouble sign for this couple? Where are they at?
I did feel that a little bit, like, after what she was hearing from him. But part of me is really thinking, like, man, she's really processing this I've been in love thing. Like, I think
wow.
she's really is processing all of
right.
her feelings, which is why I'm saying, like, why girl, this show is not for you then. Like, why did you go
She's
into
not ready.
Getting definitely not ready. You're barely ready to go into another dating relationship, let alone you're getting married to somebody else when you still have feelings for a whole nother person.
Yeah. TK was right about this, and she caught on, so she has to talk last. Ken.
Yeah. Okay, she's ready.
I am ready.
But no,
I agree with everything you guys are saying.
She's loaded up.
Yeah, so if the mention of an ex brings you to tears, I would be cautious.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's right.
Derek was cautious.
That's scary.
That.
That's like, scary. And he said, I don't want to feel like I'm competing with somebody.
Yeah. Right. Mm. And the moment that she cried, instant competition. Because it's like, wow, he obviously has more pull on your emotions than I have pull.
Right.
Because I'm not pulling passion. I'm not pulling, like, I kind of said at the beginning of the episode, like, they struggled with conversation.
Yeah.
They grabbed their little coffee mugs, they moved into the new apartment, and they were, like, discussing, like, surface-level things. And I wrote it on my notes. I was like, surface level.
Yeah.
And then she said, well, it just feels really surface level. I was like, yeah, the passion is out. But it's only been 10 days. And so, like, when people bring up the roommate thing, it's typically like, okay, we're not having sex. We're just living together.
Right.
Yeah. So I look at, like, 10 days, first of all, for couples to be married, like, 2 weeks, to have sex, like, 4 times, 6 times. I mean, that's kind of average for 10 days. And I feel like they've had that often. I'm talking about, like, for those that are, like, trying to make it happen. Some people don't even have sex at all for 10 days. Okay, I can agree. No, I'm just saying, like, you know, 10 days, period.
Oh, yeah.
So it's, like, already, like, ugh, it's turmoil for him in 10 days where he's like, oh, we haven't had sex in, like, a day or two, and I feel like it's a roommate thing. Like, but again, she's pulled by the ex. So I think it's genuine. I don't think that she's saying that just in retaliation. So.
Some of this stuff can get edited out of context. Like the roommate thing could be a cute joke in a different light or tone.
Yeah.
So
that's
kind of tough. But definitely, you don't get around the fact that this guy, or the feelings she at least once had, and he made resurface somehow, made her cry.
She admitted to it.
If you don't care about that, then it can't affect you.
If you don't care, you ain't going to be crying like that.
Yep.
No.
Right.
But it wasn't even just the crying and because she was hurt.
Right.
Pastor Cal was like, is this hindering you from getting close to your husband? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
What?
Wow. She said it. So
Pastor Cal is leaving these apartments and just, like, throwing his glasses on the ground. Like, what did we do?
I feel like Derek was being more, like, I feel like that's just his character. Like, he's very a logical person. So I feel like when he was saying the 6 months to a whole year thing, I didn't take offense to it. I think that was just him he's never been in love before. He's just thinking it from a logistics perspective.
Like, how do I know?
Yeah, like, it's like, it sounds reasonable to get in love in, like, 6 months and a year. So, yeah, that sounds...
We can't...
You know, so he doesn't know.
We can't completely deny the reality of this situation. They're still essentially strangers. Just because they've illegally gotten married.
Right.
What fairy tale land are we in that, like, well, we're married, now you're in love. Like, that's silly.
He's being reasonable.
Something like he's saying is reasonable, it's respectful, and it's very honest, and I think it's really healthy. Like, I'm super attracted to you, we get along great, we're doing the whole marriage thing, but you don't just snap into this kind of thing.
I'm going to play devil's advocate a little bit and just table this. So we're going to put it right here.
Uh-oh. Okay, let's put it right there. Let's go, TK.
Mark that. Yeah. Someone mark that spot.
I got it.
Okay.
So we're kind of vouching for Derek, and we're like, you know what? He loves his wife. He's attracted to her, blah, blah, blah. He is anticipating, you know what? If they think in 6 months, maybe we can be in love. Zach is kind of saying the same thing, but saying the word attracted instead of love. So can we vouch him in that?
No, because this is attraction in two completely different ways. Because even Pastor Cal,
some people would defend in that sense. Like, okay,
if
Derek can be in love in 6 months, why can't Zach be attracted in 6 months?
But Zach doesn't believe in himself. Like, Derek at least believes in it. And he's even, like, reassuring, like, I do feel myself having feelings for you. And I do believe that we could get there.
Do we want to talk about Zach right now, or do you want to table it?
We're tabling. It's right.
All right, leave it right there. Because we're gonna get we've crossed over. That is the it's right there in the
middle. It's right there.
We've crossed over the middle of the ladder into sadness.
into the sadness of attraction.
Before we get to the true depths of despair, Ken. Yeah. You want to holler at all of our audience real quick and tell them how much we love them?
Yes, we love y'all. We want to thank y'all for making us the ESPN of TV Talk, TV Land.
Hello.
Go ahead, click that like button, subscribe if you're listening to us on iTunes. 5 stars, please.
Yep. You know it.
Now, back to this ugliness.
Guys, thank you so much. You guys are, you're our extended panel. Yes. Lanisha, Ken, we're going to be shouting you guys out later in the show. We got a lot of comments because you guys keep leaving amazing comments on our videos. Yeah. Thank you so much. You guys rock.
I see you guys already in the live. I see you, Key Wavy TV. I see you, Bria. I see Faith, Kenny, Kennedy 78. Call me _ Brian.
Call me _. That's directed
and
at Lanisha.
129.
You guys are amazing.
Hi guys.
Let's go. We're going to keep that table because we're going to go to Mika and Michael because I feel like maybe they're in the middle of the ladder because Mika and Michael, for me, are kind of turning around, right? So we come back. They're real tired, but they do come back together. So that's already better than the bottom two, okay? They come back together and Michael keeps talking about the fact that they need to build up into their relationship, right? So actually, to TK's point, they are very similar to what Derek is saying, which is also similar to what Zach is saying, this fact that it's not immediate and they're on some kind of journey. I like the word journey. Everybody's doing that. It's on some journey. But they really are on this kind of journey, right? They talk about it. They also bring up the salary conundrum of all of a sudden his salary has doubled because he took a new job.
He was quick to answer, too. He was like, excuse me, my salary has doubled.
And that's because Mika is of the mindset that I think he needs to make more than she does. And I know we were none too happy about like how hard she was pressing going through his place, right? Why? How on earth could there be a trash can near the front door? That's just unthinkable.
She irked my, like, I am.
Give it to her.
I'm trying to be patient, Mika. I'm trying to be patient, honey. But she is irking my nerves like no one's business.
Yeah.
And I think just as a married woman, I look in and I realize that let me be fair and give her time. Mm-hmm. But she has some ugly self-realization coming to her as a married woman. Because it's almost like she is way too nitpicky and she nags way too much. It's almost like she's clearly defining her presence and there's no compromise. And there 100% has to be compromise somewhere. Why? Mm. It's almost like the saying of you can't fill a glass that's already full. Mm. You can't learn anything if there's not room to learn.
So profound.
Yeah.
It's just like, she's getting to me. But I think hopefully that Michael is, I hope that he's strong enough. I hope that he's sarcastically, he'll say it in a I want him to be the person we thought he was when we first saw the show. And that's kind of sarcastic, but strong, but still a little bit of passionate. So,
Ken, is Mika too set in her ways?
So, Mercedes Fraser, she hit it on the nail.
Great.
Mika has too many rules.
Yes. Right.
Okay. And she's just coming in like she just needs to
hard and fast
like
rules.
Just chill,
retweet.
Like let it happen. And I mean, she's very judgmental.
Yeah.
She's talking about the cabinet space and the trash can and like chill. You just walked in the door. And the
definitely
first thing
do not
is,
come to my house.
Like relax.
She will not be happy. I looked at his place and I was just telling TK. I was like, that's
that was
actually
clean.
A clean apartment. You know, for a guy, that's real clean.
Well, we're already getting low on time, which is crazy because we talk about the show. We love it so much. Talk to me real quick, Lanisha. Let's just stick with it. And near the end, when Pastor Cal comes for his visit, by the way, where's Viviana and Dr. Pepper? Like, poor Castor Cal is putting in overtime here. Castor Cal comes, right?
Still in Panama.
They talk about the salary thing, whatever. More importantly, and you start to feel from the house visit, we feel a little bit bad for Michael. Like, we're saying she, Mika's kind of rigid. But we go back again to the argument of what exactly did Michael say? Was he saying they definitely have to have sex before the end of the honeymoon? She's saying, this is literally what you said, and he is saying no. Somebody's telling the truth and somebody's lying. Right?
For real. Way.
How do we get past this? Do we just leave it? It doesn't seem like either of them, she won't leave it, and he's crying.
Yeah. There's actually a lot of people who are now saying, like, is Mika telling the truth? And in the past, Mika has misinterpreted some sayings from when she was with the family. And the family has mentioned that Michael cannot be pushed too much to the extent. And then she told Michael, hey, they told me that you shut down pretty much when you get upset.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
So there's been times where she's misinterpret.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if, because he remembers specifically, he said expectations.
Right.
That was a key word that he remembers that he said. So I'm wondering by that if Michael was right and maybe Mika misheard him.
Well, this crying.
I think it's both. I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
This crying is consistent with what he said. He is getting upset. He's like, I didn't say that. She won't let me. So now I'm failing. And he just completely shuts down.
Can I just say the one thing I loved is that his attitude of explaining himself on sex sounded amazing on camera. I hope it's true. But I think him saying, like, look, I do need intimacy, but it's not just sex. I was robbed of my intimacy as a child. So therefore, I expect it. As a married man, I want that. I need that because it's my love language. So I think
I'm glad that you brought that up. I love that he was talking about that bond, knowing his backstory of him being adopted and everything. So I truly do understand that bond and why he was crying, because dang, because she picked on him so much, and it's like he can't do anything right. So what do you do when you actually do want something to work and you just aren't doing anything right?
And another thing of the woman thing, she's going to learn. You cannot nag on the wrong things 24/7.
The small things,
Sorry,
feel like.
I robbed you of your moment.
No, I was going to say, those are not crocodile tears. So
Yeah.
Everybody else, we get on Brandon and these other apologies and stuff.
But, yeah.
He definitely was real, honest with her. I wish she would have embraced him. Like, I mean, he was just sitting there like,
he said, I need love.
And it's just like
touch.
Hold him. It took like 10 minutes before she,
yeah.
Why are you crying? Dang, I can't cry.
And you can tell he didn't want to.
Sorry, I know we're short on time. My gosh.
No, it's very sad. That is just very sad because the more I see of that, because I was on her side hearing what she said that he said off camera and on. But the more you see of him, I said, this guy doesn't look like he's lying. It looks real sincere, and he looks honestly troubled and hurt by what's going on.
Yeah.
My gut feeling is that he wanted this whole thing to work, and it's like not, and he doesn't know what to do.
Because all he hears is the negative.
Right.
There was nothing positive going on. Yeah.
Well, speaking of nothing positive going on.
I love that.
Zach and Mindy. Okay, and Mindy. Mindy shows up. They obviously come back together to D.C., right? But only Mindy goes to the new apartment. Zach says he's not ready to move in together, right? Jeez. Remember, Mindy now is getting very upset because her family refused to be at the wedding. And now her thing is, did I actually make a big mistake? Not only have I kind of, I don't know, defied, if you want to say, my family or their judgment, but this guy is being nothing but rude to me. You know, her hardcore friend comes over, Mallory, and Mallory's like, so what happened? And she said, well, we kissed once. And then he told me over and over and over again how he's not attracted to me on the honeymoon. I know what the tape, it's right here. We're going to pick it right back up. Pastor Cal comes back in and they have some conversation where even Pastor Cal's head is twisted up because no one can understand what Zach is saying. I'll interpret it right now. Zach is not attracted to Mindy and he is trying to dance around it. He is not attracted to her.
You know what?
He doesn't like her.
Yeah. I got to respectfully disagree only because I feel like this is the one and only time where Zach literally explained it to the T what he needs to be said. I feel like at this moment, this episode is when I understood him to the most. He literally was just saying all of these things I like in a woman. I like this, I like that, I like this, I like that. And she has all of these things. But at the end of the day, if all of these things, if it's not in an outer shell that my little manhood will stand attention to, I don't want it. And I feel like he did a great job this time. I have to give him his one little bitty piece of a kudo because at this moment, he got straight to the point. He was like, am I attracted to these things? Yes. But these things, at the end of the day, if I'm not attracted on outer, it's not going to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair
and I feel like he did catch on a little bit when he was sitting on the couch with Mindy, understanding you can't continually tell a woman you're not attracted to them.
Right.
It just makes them feel unwanted, unattractive. So I like that he said it's like, it's not that you're not pretty, like you're pretty, I like this about you, I like this. Just say something positive about her.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't get to hear that. She doesn't even get to hear the stuff that you do like about her.
Yeah.
All she hears is that you're unattracted.
Yeah.
That's it.
Lisa Morris, she's mentioned that. Just say something nice to her, please.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Tell her she has nice legs. Her hair is nice.
Where'd you put it? Pick it back up. Where'd it go?
Right here. Okay.
So now for this guy right here, I think the big difference, right? The difference is Zach,
I'm gonna toss
like
this
a baby.
Up for conversation.
Okay, there it is. It's up. Zach's not even trying. I feel like he's not trying. He's not making the effort. So he says, I just need my space. But we are married. Well, just like Pastor Kyle said, married people live together.
Yes.
If you're going to make this effort, how are you going to grow to love this person or whatever by avoiding her at all costs? And just try. So there are two bedrooms. You can respectfully say, look, as we're growing this, I don't want to be sort of disrespectful in anything or fake it. So let's stay together. Let's try to bond. But he's not even there. He's back in his own house.
But he says he wants to work on it. So.
But again, this
That's
goes back to the family, what the family said. They said Zach is not good with commitment. They all warned him. They all gave him the warning and red flags.
Right.
Like, he's had his fair share of women and has been bad with commitment.
Yeah. Right.
So this whole moving in together, having to share space, you know he's not going to be with it because he's bad with commitment.
But again, we talk about this often with him. What should he do? Like, in my mind, it's just not going to work. He's not attracted to her.
Mm.
I don't think he cares to try to become attracted to her as much as he talks around it. The whole thing is that Derek is very attracted to his wife, so he's got some kind of basis. I'm willing, like now we're kind of dating. I'm attracted, make out, hook up, blah, 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 fall in love with you. If Zach doesn't have it as a base, should he straight up say, Pastor Cal, this isn't happening. I'm not attracted to her whatsoever. It's not happening. And is it wrong? Because I always feel like Pastor Cal pushes it. Well, just do it. Just stay together. Just make it work. It's almost like, if it's definitely not going to happen, are we just torturing these people?
I feel like Zach just needs to be really honest and just say, like, this is not going to happen because that's the vibe that he's giving off. JBrook07 says that he's not attracted to her. That doesn't make him a bad guy.
No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. And the whole time I'm, like, feeling bad for Mindy. I mean, she's sitting there with a glass of wine like Olivia Pope.
Because that's what it seems. It seems like when he dances around this stuff, he's giving her hope.
Yes,
almost.
Yeah.
And if it's just not there, let's just be done with it.
There's an overflow of hope and optimism.
Yeah, he might just think it'll hurt her at the end of the day to say, you know, I just don't want to be married. So maybe that's what he's struggling with.
What's worse, though?
Someone answered your question that you threw out last week talking about attraction and is attraction the most important? And Godless Culture said, men are visual. They go for looks every time. The woman can be the devil on the inside and they will still try it. Think attraction can grow from both sexes. but it can't be too far out of the range. I've seen not so attractive women attracted by men by their spirit. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they're saying, like, more so women, we could go for men more so for the inside, but guys, like, appearance for women is very important to men. Is that true for y'all?
I mean, it's up there. I need to be attracted to you. So, if I'm not attracted to you, then, I mean, it's not working.
So yeah. It's a more not important.
I mean, this is not me. So please, for the record, but someone I was on Twitter and someone said, women can fake it a lot easier than men.
Oh, and that's
And I'll just say that.
Sure.
It's clear for men. It's not always so clear for women because we...
I feel like for me, I'm trying to be nice. I'm a nice person.
I was like, interesting. Okay. I like this. But there were a lot of people that were taking up for Zach. I'm going to whip out my screenshots real quick.
Go for it because we're about to talk about a really not nice person.
Oh. Yes. I'm Allie on YouTube. Thank you, said. I think that Zach initially thought that she was pretty. He said... As much as the wedding episode, I think he is not attracted. However, but I think he is not attracted to how she carries herself. From that first or second night when she didn't shower, he's been grossed out. But so I'm Allie on YouTube thinks that it's not just like maybe her looks were workable, but then her insecurities over time just was like adding to the pile of crap that he was already probably feeling deep down inside. If she was super confident, maybe showered every night and every morning, he could probably make it work.
But he's not helping her insecurities.
Yeah, 100%. But again, it's just not a match, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. She's insecure. He doesn't know how to feed into insecurity. It's just not a match.
Sure.
Yeah. You made it perfectly clear. It's just not a match. Yeah. That's what it is.
All right. Now we've gone to we're below the lowest rung of sadness when we talk about Taylor and Brandon. So obviously, they didn't even come back to DC together. Brandon threw his little hissy fit on the bus. He cursed everybody out. He is not answering her calls or texts, blah, blah, blah. Pastor Cal, again, working overtime, or maybe it's just one day hopping apartment to apartment.
100%.
Because at one point it's nighttime, right, for Derek? So Pastor Cal comes in, and he's like, what's going on? And she tells him everything. And then, of course, almost as if by production magic, in jaunts Brandon with a whole bouquet of flowers. Go buy everybody some flowers for Valentine's Day. Don't forget.
Please
and
don't.
He comes
with
some. Buy a plant. It doesn't die as quick. So,
or buy edibles. You can eat them.
I'm done with her.
Wow.
Like edible arrangements. Anyway.
Well, we're in California. So he comes in with these flowers and he's just like, hey, I'm so sorry. And my thing is he has this constant smirk on his face to the point where I can't take anything that he says seriously. I don't buy it. I think he realizes how badly he screws up. But again, this excuse for... I'm not used to having cameras on me and things like that. I specifically wrote down, if I am in a situation like this, and all of a sudden, it doesn't happen very often, it's really tough to make me uncomfortable, but if I were to get uncomfortable like this, I would lean into my wife, right? Like, that is my protection. Like, that she's my partner. That's where I would go to. Not, like, curse her out and be like, you're trying to play me. Like, you're all against me. You're in on it with production. It's irrational, Lanisha.
And you, I don't even want to sit by you.
Right.
All I gotta say is those flowers would have been shoved up. Now, Cam, this is a family show, huh?
Not after the edibles.
But I'm just saying, like how could you take him back? And I understand it's the pressure of, you know, Pastor Cal probably being there. But you can even tell by her face how uncomfortable she was. Like, she really wanted to probably say, no, he's not trying. He said, I'm sorry. This is the same speech he gave her the last time he pulled a little kitty move.
Well, he comes back with the apology flowers, and he's not even wearing his ring, Ken.
Yeah, and Janelle J, she hit it on the nail. Taylor is being way too nice. The fact that she packed his luggage after he had his tantrum is doing too much. Okay. All of his stuff would have stayed in that room.
Oh,
thank
my God.
I agree. And I'm not buying Brandon's apology.
Thank you. That would have gone to Goodwill.
I'm going to go back to my little screenshot.
I'm just saying.
Because I'm going to play a little devil's advocate.
Here we go.
Yep, I'm doing it. Raven Dark Fang on YouTube. My apologies. Raven Dark Thing.
Cool name.
I'm going to say her comment says, stop drinking the Taylor Kool-Aid.
Ooh.
She throws shade, laughs while filming the man sleeping, rolls her eyes at his panic attacks and says, I did nothing wrong. If she were a guy, you guys would be calling her a jerk. Brandon is no picnic, but neither is she the way she tosses out. Not wanting to be married comments, you just don't say that if you really want things to work. So I'm going to play a little devil. I'm putting that on the table. I'm throwing it up in the air.
There's a lot of stuff in the air and on the table.
And I will say that Brandon might, he's no picnic. However, one thing that's been constant is his disrespect.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So wow. The constant disrespect that we've seen time and time again, like, nah, I'm not.
And you see how we talk about, like, Mika. So it's not just the guys, clearly.
Yeah.
So if it was the other way around, I would have said the same thing. If she's acting like a baby. I would have said the same thing.
If Brandon woke her up with a camera, like, look at her snoring. Like, it's cute. It's like, it's a newlywed cute thing.
I think the one thing that got me here was when he said, when the going gets tough, is she going to be completely done? Wait, hold on. She is here, first of all. So let me just get that right. And the little smirk kills me. It's like he walks into the room and is like condescending. Like, can we be smothered in enough like condescending attitude?
Right.
I don't care how cute that little dimple is on the side of your cheek,
it's
Brandon, that you think in it. Like, no.
Yes.
Not no.
And she doesn't just want respect for herself. She wants respect for just people in general,
yes.
The whole production.
Disrespect will not be tolerated.
It just
point
doesn't make any sense. Nobody is going to point out what she has done to deserve any of this kind of stuff because it's not.
Yeah.
We're super out of time.
Okay.
However,
we have so much.
TK has got some tea. It's TKT.
TKT.
It's TKT.
I'll shut
and
my mouth.
It come well. That's you should have. it comes right from this story.
Yeah.
We're gonna go right into Taylor and Brandon news because put in the comments if you haven't heard about this or even if you have, does this change what you think?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a little late in the game, but shout out to our YouTube viewer if we can get the comment on the screen. Little news and gossip here. So shout out to the YouTube. David Fendi, I think, says pretty much at the end that Taylor was pretty much not the first pick.
Yeah.
So obviously, we released a little news and gossip that Brandon had already filed an annulment. But if you do follow news, we'll put the little screenshot of the annulment or the case information on the screen as well. But this article on SoapDirt.com says, where did I start? Okay. It says, usually even Lifetime couples have issues. They wait until D-Day when the episode airs before filing the paperwork. The latest tea from Married at First Sight fan account says two other brides-to-be backed out at the very last minute, like less than 30 days, like less than 14 days even on some sources. Says that it looks like production brought Taylor in as a fill-in at the very last minute, and watchers think that Brandon Reed and the match between Taylor seem a little awkward on the show, not necessarily because they're strangers, but because it was just a last-minute replacement. It even goes as deep, you guys, to say that a groomsman at Brandon and Taylor's wedding released some insight gossip, and we're gonna call it that, allegedly.
Who knows?
That says this year Brandon and two other grooms, we will discuss all this on another episode, but two other grooms backed out at the last minute, and that Taylor was so last minute that they did not have enough time to do a thorough investigation on her background, saying that she has a suspended license, she's a couch surfer, lives with her mom, not a scientist, and not getting her PhD or master's, and says, I could go on. So Dr. Pepper obviously steps in and says, you know, a lot of people lying on their background is very common for the show. We have to be careful about that. But what do you guys think? It's a lot to unpack here.
Taylor not being the first choice, to me, still doesn't rationalize the treatment or the awkwardness because any other person would still be just a stranger.
Right.
So, you know, And then her lying about all this stuff, it's an interesting kind of scandal to me, but it also doesn't excuse him treating her like crap, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. Because either way, he'd still be getting recorded.
The situation is still the same. It's just, is she not going to her science job when they get back to D.C. or whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
It is a lie to start a relationship out, though. Lanisha, you look confused.
Yeah, because I don't know Taylor now.
Right.
Yeah, like, so a lot of people are saying, you know, maybe not defend Taylor so much. Ken, what do you think?
I mean, a lot of people are also saying, like, she's clout chasing, and, you know, maybe that's why she's, you know, all on the social media trying to take pictures and do all these things.
Right.
So. Maybe she's trying to build her following.
It still doesn't change the way he treats her, though, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't change the heart
as
of the
issues with
her. As
far as this episode and how far it came up to this, it still doesn't change the fact that she's been super sweet to him.
Yeah.
And he's been disrespectful, and there's been lack of communication, I feel like, on his end.
We gotta see where this all susses out. You want to give just like a two-line of the other news that you've got?
Yeah, two-line short quick was that Mika on Unfiltered released some information that they were talking about how'd you become on the show, how'd you get on the show, but that Michael's ex was actually the one that nominated and helped fill out the questionnaire of Michael to be on the show. And so obviously that little news and gossip between Michael and Mika is that we're now questioning how close are you to your ex. And this is the ex that he emotionally cheated on.
Right.
So maybe he's still a little bit tied. She walked away because he emotionally cheated. So now we have that to unpack. So,
all right, quick, guys. We're completely out of time. Let's rate the couples, Jonathan. Oh, we do have time. That's right. Okay, here we go. Let's get it. This is going to be easy and quick because I bet we're all on the same page. Jessica and Austin, Lanisha.
10.
10.
10.
10. I feel like this is a dance
show. Katie and Derek.
Okay, 6.
7.
4.
Ooh. 8. I go 8.
We are not on the same page.
I guess not. Mika and Michael.
Mika and Michael. Okay. 5.
6.
5.
5. Mindy and Zach.
1.
0.3.
I'll give them a 1. And then, I mean, with the news that's come out that they've already gotten their annulment, can we give Taylor and Brandon anything but a 0?
Nope. 0.
Zeros all around. 0. Guys, of course, put down in the comments your ratings. You're probably agreeing with us, except some of you guys defending our boy, Zach. We love to hear from you, though. We love the comments. Thank you so much for participating in this. Guys, we got to go. Until next time, Lanisha, where can they find you?
You guys can follow me on all social media at Lanisha, spelled L-A-N-I-S-H-A 914.
Oh, I love how y'all got my thing.
Somebody's going to Lanisha 915 and is really upset.
I'm mad. Kenneth Ware on all platforms.
At @Takira_Shabre, all platforms.
Guys, thank you so much again, once again, for participating and subscribing and talking to us and leaving the comments. My name is Mike Feeling. You can find me everywhere at Mike Feeling. Happy Valentine's Day!
Yeah!
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.